Welcome to our podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. For more information about NCCF, log on to newcovenantchristianfellowship.com. Thank you and God bless. Hey, I wanted to talk to you. I'm kind of excited about sharing this morning. I was away last week, and I appreciated Bob so much. Bob, thank you so much for sharing last week. Great. It was amazing. I listened to the podcast, and if you're not familiar with our podcast and how that all works, go into newcovenantchristianfellowship.com and let that be a threshold into like the podcast and into the Facebook and where, you know, some of that communication stuff happens. Also, you can sign up to receive our e-bulletins, which you can also opt out of that at any time, so we're not going to harass you too much. We just want to communicate with you, and that's the way that we do that. We tend to let our website at this point just be a kind of a front page into that other stuff. And so, newcovenantchristianfellowship.com, and we are so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're here. We as in me. Me. I'm glad you're here. It's really good to be here this morning. I was away last week, Tiffany and Zoe and I, we went down to Texas. We went down to Waxahachie. It's a cool name for a town, you know. You expect to see cowboys walking down the road with spurs on, you know. Waxahachie. You know. So it was fun. It was fun to be there. We have some friends who are musicians, and they had a CD release party, and it was just a good time to go down there. It was just a great road trip. You know, road trips can be fun if they're not too long, right? And if you don't eat too many Cheetos. So here I am. I'm back kind of in the swing of things, sort of. You know, I let that disengaged mode kind of prolong through the week. And then, you know, all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I should probably think about what I'm going to share on Sunday. But it's been rolling around in my heart for some time, actually. And so what I want to do is I want to begin my time this morning with giving you a little bit of a backdrop. It was about 8 years ago that God began to set up a transformation for my own life and for all of us, really. Those of you who have been a part of New Covenant Christian Fellowship for a number of years, you have walked through seasons of transition. And I am so grateful to all of you who have just been, you've placed relationship over programs, you've placed people over programs, you've placed all of the things that, you know, are connected to heart-to-heart relationship over just the ebb and the flow of, you know, what we experience sometimes together in a living organism called a church. And so I'm so grateful for all of you who have walked these seasons with us. And I've been here, Tiffany and I have been back in Woodland Park for 18 years, specifically working at this fellowship, privileged to be a part of ministry in this community, in this region. And we have discovered over those years that the Lord had a transition for us and a transformation for me personally. I had been pastoring here for about 10 years at that time when this transition all started to really happen. And things were going really well. I mean, we had 4 full-time staff. We had 2 services on Sunday morning. We had all sorts of things popping. We had lots of talk about building community and about really impacting this region. And little did I know that I would have to undergo a formation of the heart in the midst of all of that. And it was really God's grace, because little did I know that God was going to invite me into an upgrade. I thought we were jamming. And yet God was saying, look, I want to put my finger on some things because I want you to experience fruit that remains. And so here we were, you know, just kind of bumping along, having a good old time. And one catalyst after another started to tip the scale, and what seemed like an upward trajectory just went into a bit of a free fall. And I learned from the seasons of the earth. God says in Romans that he displays his attributes in the things that he created. And so free fall and fall are very much alike, because transitions usually begin with an ending. And just like we're seeing the beauty of our trees, there is beauty in it. There are things that are tucked in there that are really beautiful, but there might be parts of our hearts that are saying, wait a minute, the green is going away. The days are getting shorter. The night is getting longer. I don't like this. Some of you already experienced that the first time it snowed a few weeks ago. I don't like this. I want it to be summer forever. Well, what's really amazing is in this upgrade, we get to see God differently. We get to see each other differently. We get to see ourselves differently. We get to see all sorts of things differently. I got to see my wife differently. I got to see my children differently as a result of moving through. And really, honestly, it's not like I could boast about cooperating with this, honestly, because there was a lot of grasping. And there was a season, because when you come out of the fall season, you go into the dormant season of winter. And there's a lot of times there where I was not convinced that I was going to sustain and continue on in ministry because I didn't see a lot of things happening externally in my life, in the life of the fellowship. But here's what happens in the winter. A lot of root work happens. Deep roots that go down and tap into the resources of God's amazing grace. And so we come now into a season of spring where there's new life, and the resurrection life of the summer of, you know, fruitfulness, and it's glory to glory to glory. And we wish these transitions would be really quick. But like I said, about 8 years ago, God began to invite me and us into that season. And that's a backdrop because it's, and I could say a lot about it, but one of the things that I really want to say is that, yes, while these transitions begin with an ending, we don't like to use the word death. We don't like to use, it's scary. I mean, we'd rather use words like inviting us into an upgrade. And yet there are things that can be found in the loss. Our Christian experience, honestly, is about resurrection. From start to finish, the hope that we find in Jesus is found in the place of resurrection. The anticipation for future and vision and life with God and with each other as God's people, it's all tied to and connected to resurrection. Paul got it when he says, "Oh, that I would know Christ and the power of his resurrection." And so resurrection, obviously, it can only come after a death. And so I don't want to unpack the entire story, but the salient point was this. God was bringing me and God was bringing us into a new measure of freedom through all of this. That's really the salient point. He wanted us to enter into his rest. He wants us to understand that there are ways of his kingdom and ways that he relates to us that will bring fruit that will remain for generations. And that place is coming from an abiding place with Jesus. And so we learn to take the yoke of Christ. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Hey, listen, when I was in that dormant season, I was trying to not feel guilty. And then I was getting permission to not feel guilty. And then I was trying to not feel guilty for not feeling guilty. Sort of combination of weird guilt thing that was on me. Because I'm like, what is this? I'm supposed to be busy. I'm supposed to be active. I'm supposed to be really pressing in. And I could layer language on this where I could justify the need to strive. And like I said, the point was Jesus wanted to bring me into some freedom. He wanted me to discover my truest identity as a favored son in the family of God's kingdom. Can you get that? I mean, there was so much that he wanted to bring us into. He wanted to introduce us more deeply into what spiritual community is, where the Spirit of Christ stands between us. And we're free from the striving, from this type of community that's born and maintained out of human endeavor. He wanted to bring us into all of these things. And I remember meeting this guy during all of this. It was, there's several things about this guy that I could share, but I'll simply say this, that his name is David Shirk. And one of the things that David brought to me was this idea that, you know, if you're being invited into a new economy of God's kingdom, then you have to understand that there's a new currency that's going to go with that. It's like, hey, when I was a kid and I lived in Germany, I could ride my bike down to the village with a few Deutschmarks rattling around in my pocket, and I could buy a bratwurst. But if I were to go to Germany now, because it has transitioned into a new economy of the European Union, I have to bring a euro. So there's a new currency for the new economy. And the currency is the exchange of value. It's like, how do we communicate? How do we experience the thing that God is inviting us into and that we're entering into? It's going to require a change of our currency. New economy, new currency. When it comes to being set free from the traditions of man, when it comes to being set free from religion, you're going to be brought into the kingdom economy, God's kingdom economy. For example, striving is a way of exchange in the traditions of man. And yet, strive as you will, in the power of your own strength, you will not see lasting fruit. And yet, in the kingdom of economy, when you rest in the assurance that you are accepted and loved by a Father who extravagantly gives you, he knows who you are, and because you're not striving and you're free from that performance thing, what happens is margin is created in your soul, and the Spirit is actually allowed to move through your life. And when the Spirit touches a thing, then there is fruit, and fruit that remains. So that's the new currency for the new economy. Resting in the assurance that you are loved and accepted by God. Amazing. So you simply respond to the assignment that He gives to you, and you rely on the grace of His gift, which is His Holy Spirit, to empower you to do things. And these are the ways of Christ. I mean, Christ told us to learn from Him. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Abide in me and you will produce fruit that remains. All of these things are really powerful, and they speak about a new currency in this new economy of God's kingdom. So as a close to this intro, which is what it was, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we're okay with discovering new language to try to express the new economy. It's not really new, but it's new to us, right, in some ways. Because some of us, we have been raised, born and bred in the traditions of man and in the religious structures that have formed us and formed our hearts. And God is reforming us and transforming us, and He's creating for us this margin where we can experience new things in His kingdom. It's kind of like Jack Taylor used to say. Jack Taylor would come here and he would talk to us and he'd be like, look, you know, seeking first the kingdom, it's kind of like grizzly bear hunting. You see the signs, you start tracking it, start moving towards it, and all of a sudden you realize something is breathing down the back of your neck. And you are being overtaken by the kingdom of God. I love that. It's really cool because, you know, it's really God's initiative, right? It's His grace. He's the one who starts it. He's the one who sees it on to completion. It's so amazing. The words are like coins, you know, of the new currency. And we're okay with discovering some language that helps us explore and express our faith. And I realize, you know, that when you hear the language of the kingdom through the filter of religion, when you hear the language of the kingdom through the filter of religion, that old economy, man, does it sound foolish. Sometimes it even sounds selfish or lazy. Now, here's the deal. These are things that I've discovered. I cannot impose them on you. I can't smash them on you and make you experience that, but I can impress you with this fact. That this process that you're in with God, this journey that you're in, it will, and this is not a curse, honestly. I'm not saying this like this is a bad word for you. It will include transitions. It will include reformation of your heart. It will include the letting go of and the dying of things that you have held so dear and yet bring no life. So, with that, we're in this deep inner work of transformation, and what it requires, honestly, is the fire of God's passion. And what the fire of God's passion does is it softens the template of your heart so new impressions can be made. We'll get to that in a minute. That's why I wanted to sing that last song. Come be the fire inside of me. So let's turn to 2 Peter 1, if you would please. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. So while I cannot impose my values and my experiences on you, I can impress them upon you. We can do that for each other. And if our hearts are pliable, and if our hearts are receptive to the transforming work of Jesus, then the template of our hearts will begin to reflect the template of the kingdom. So, 2 Peter 1:3. As we know Jesus better, I'm reading this out of the New Living Translation. It works for me because it's the language that I tend to speak. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness, and by that same mighty power, he has given us all of his rich and wonderful promises. He has promised that you will escape the decadence all around you caused by evil desires and that you will share in his divine nature. I love this passage. This has been a go-to passage, an anchor for me for decades now. And with that, I just want to talk about getting to know Jesus better. And I want to talk about his divine power that gives us everything. Everything we need. His divine power gives us everything we need. I'm going to park it here for a minute. Everything. Lacking nothing. Everything. Everything we need. God had me in here yesterday pacing, not pacing, that sounds frantic. Nothing was chasing me or anything like that. I was just in here with like this fervent prayer just going, you give us everything, everything. It just kept echoing in my spirit, everything, 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 nothing lacking, every single thing. Getting to know Jesus is a key to us living out everything that he has given to us, everything, everything. So here's the crux. The question this morning. There's actually two questions, and they're a comparison question that might sound very, very similar. Some of us might even struggle with, is there really a difference? But I'm going to ask these two questions, and I'm going to ask you, is there a difference? The first one is this. Does knowing Jesus better release the divine power of Christ into our lives? I'll repeat it. Does knowing Jesus better release the divine power of Christ into our lives? Or does knowing Jesus better manifest the divine power of Christ through our lives? Does knowing Jesus better manifest the divine power of Christ through our lives? It's really an interesting set of questions. And for me, there's a clear why in the road at this question. If you can imagine getting to know Jesus better and that is somehow going to release more of God's blessings into your life, then you're still operating in the economy of religion. I'll repeat that. If you can imagine that getting to know Jesus better is going to somehow release more of God's blessings into your life, then you're still operating in the old economy of religion. And the currency that you're likely using would actually have good sounding words attached to it. Like, if you do this or that, then God will bless your life. I'm going to call something out here. It was interesting. You had this prophetic song about the door being open and for us to come out into the sunlight. So while you were singing that, I was thinking, oh, we can have a coming out party. Is that cool? I mean, let's come out with it. I'm going to call something out. Doing spiritual work for the sake of gaining like a higher level of God's blessing and favor is the earmark of religion. It's what the scriptures would call dead works. The economy of religion, it has a currency, and on its coin is the inscription, "In compliance we trust." Entire religious systems are established to ensure compliance. And the currency of compliance is fear. Fear is a powerful motivator, but it does not produce fruit that remains. Fear is not from God, because there is no fear in love. Fear is from Satan. I'm calling it out. And it's used to manipulate people. And let me just say this, that any form of manipulation is witchcraft. Whether it's in the church or not. I go and I travel and I meet with neo-pagans and Wiccan warlocks and all these people and I pray with them and I just have an amazing time of watching Jesus encounter them. And my friends from the churches, not this one, but other churches, they're like, aren't you afraid that something's going to, like, witchcraft is going to jump on you? And all? I'm like, sometimes I'm more afraid church, in the church. The spirit of religion is mean. You know, if it's exercising the human will, and cooperating with powers and principalities in order to ensure some kind of outcome, that's witchcraft. I don't care how noble the outcome appears. If manipulation through fear is employed, it's a lesser form of power, and it extracts from people instead of giving life to them. That's why I changed my address from the old economy. Many of us settle, though, for that type of Christian experience for years and years and years, though. And there's a reason why we do it. And it comes back to the template of your heart. It's like wax. I learned this recently, this last month. My friends, Dolly and Kathy, and Marcia as well, we were a part of this conference down in Colorado Springs with a gentleman named Terry Wardle. And we're a part of the school. I'm actually enrolled in the school. It's the School of Formational Prayer. And Terry Wardle, he has some amazing insight and a really impactful teaching and equipping on helping facilitate transformation. And one of the things that he brought is that when we are young, we grow up developing a definition for love, family, God, Jesus, through how our family relates to one another and how they relate to us. So if you could imagine, and we won't take the time to really push this out, but if you can imagine how dad related to mom, how mom related to dad, how dad related to you, how mom related to you, and that whole cycle of relationship, it begins to form in our soft hearts the impression, this is love. This is family. And as we grow older and we begin to agree with that, then our definition of love is primarily set through those experiences that we had as a child. And so, when we come into an agreement that God is love, then we have this caricature of God based on the impressions that were laid into our soft, malleable hearts as children. And so that's why some maybe some among us, would imagine that, yes, God is love, and he's also abusive. Yes, God is love, and he's also distant. Yes, God is love, and he's also harsh. And all of these things on and on and on. And some of us, we grow up with this impression, God is love, and he's for me. God is love, and he's a giver. God, you know, because that's the impression that we got. This is how you define love. This is how you define family. There's a reason why people would come into a relationship with an abuser and stay with that, or cycle through relationship after relationship with this abuser and that abuser. It's because the deepest longing of their heart to be accepted and to belong is connected and filtered through that template that if you're going to receive love, you're also going to have to settle for some abuse, because that's what they were modeled. And so this is a deep inner work where Jesus is wanting to bring the fire of his passion, his compassion, to our hearts, to draw near to us, and we allow that impression to soften and to reform, and we allow ourselves to undergo this process of being transformed more and more into the image of Jesus. For real, not the caricature, but for real, who Jesus is. So perfect love drives out fear. In the kingdom economy, the kingdom of Jesus, I mean, it's all about grace. Everything that motivates grace is love. And so this transition begins with a repentance. That's the death of a thing. How many times does Jesus come on the scene and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? Or John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's all about letting that thing go, moving into a new reality. I want to take some time now to just talk about this idea that knowing Jesus better, instead of it helping us acquire God's favor and blessing, there's a different approach. Knowing Jesus better manifests the divine power of Christ through our lives. There's a difference here. The divine power of Christ has been available since the first time you gave your life exchange with Jesus. 100%. All the blessings of God, all the power, all the wisdom and knowledge and everything, the mind of Christ, you have been transformed already from the very moment you gave your life to Jesus. And yet we are on this journey of becoming more and more a reflection of that reality. It's kind of like this. 27 years ago, Tiffany and I got married. It was in Manitou Springs. And when the pastor says, I now pronounce you husband and wife, I was a husband. And yet I acted like a doofus. <laughs> 27 years later, I'm still a husband, and I still sometimes act like a doofus, but I act kind of more like a husband. More importantly, on that day, that moment, Tiffany was my wife. And all the amazing benefits of being in a committed lifelong relationship with Tiffany were 100% mine. And yet these 27 years later, I'm discovering new things about this relationship. I'm settled in more comfortably and more naturally in my identity as a husband. We finish each other's thoughts. We know each other's heart. And so from day one, every blessing that comes from the Father of lights is released to you, and it has come to you through the life of Jesus Christ. And yet, as we know Jesus better, the power of Christ that is inherent in who he is manifest in our lives. Big difference. Big difference. I like how Paul writes in Colossians 2, 2 through 3. He says that, you know, I want you to be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in the true knowledge of God's mystery that is Christ himself. All that means here is he's saying, look, I want you to attain to all the wealth that comes from getting to know Jesus better, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So how is it then that we are transformed into this through our knowing of him? I just want to talk to you a little bit, and we're going to transition into an experiential, which those of you who've been around, you know that I like to facilitate like actual, like, let's do this. Let's not just talk about this. So how do we do this? I mean, when you know him, honestly, you trust him. And when you trust him more, you submit to his life in you. It's one of those deals. That's why it's so important for us to get to know Jesus better. It's because the more you know somebody, the more you trust them. And the more you trust them, the more you're willing to submit to the things, the goodness in their heart, and to the motives of their heart. You're willing to submit to that. That's a big difference between that and compliance. Submission is coming under his mission, which is coming under the love that he has for you and coming under the call of God on your life and coming under all of these dreams that he has for you. You come under that. You're coming under the mission of Christ. You're submitted to him because you know him and you trust him. And so how do we know him better? Let me just ask you, like, what are some ways that have helped you in the past know Jesus better? Let me hear it. What's that? Time alone with him. Walking through loss. Worshiping together with other believers. Reading his word. Watching him do huge miracles. Seeing his heart expressed to you in those ways. What are other ways that you've experienced knowing Jesus better? Those are all amazing. Meditation. Great. Hearing his voice. Through art. Beauty. Creativity. Receiving his compliments. His words. Receiving them is a lot different than just hearing them, right? And you're just like, I agree, yes, thank you. Yes. God speaking to you through other people. It's very good. Yeah, Jimmy. Embracing his loving correction. Yes. I think you're on it. I think experiencing Jesus is in partnership with teachings and words and these things that, you know, we spend our time doing. It's an encouragement to us. It orients our hearts towards. But one of the reasons why apathy sets in is because we often rely on someone else's revelation to do it for us. I think when we experience Jesus for real, for ourselves, it motivates us in an entirely different way. And so what I want to do now is I want to facilitate a time. We're just going to take the next maybe 5 minutes or so to start it. Mark's going to play in just a moment here. And it's something that we did at the School of Formational Prayer. And it's really fascinating to me because there's different ways that we can position ourselves to be with Jesus. And one of the ways that we do that is through this experiential time with Jesus, through silence and solitude and meditation and hearing him speak and all of those different ways that we can really focus. And one of the ways that I would like to do now is I'd like for you to simply rest and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray over you that your imaginations would be sanctified. Not all of you see things in pictures, and I'm totally good with that. Some of you will hear songs, and some of you will get scriptures that will drop in on your heart. All of these are extremely valid. And so what we're going to do, it's what we call safe place. It has impacted my life in this last month and a half. And what we are going to do now is you're going to take some deep breaths and relax. I'm going to pray over you. And then we're going to ask God to do some things for you. So Jesus, we thank you that you have dispatched your ministering angels around this place. This is a sacred space now. We consecrate it unto Christ. We thank you that your presence is with us and that you displace the voice of diminishment and discouragement and not only distraction, but even dishonesty. And we invite you now to sanctify our imaginations. God, would you take us to a safe place? If you're seeing things, I want to encourage you to really look at the details. Allow the internal world of your thoughts to grab hold of things like color, maybe even smells or feelings. Allow yourself to go there. If Jesus is not in the safe place with you, invite him in now. It's okay to ask him this. Is there anything you want to say to me? Is there anything you want to give me? Perhaps you'd want to respond. And don't do this out of any compulsion, other than it's genuinely true that you would give Jesus permission to reform the template of your heart. To reshape some of your definitions of love and family and God. To reflect most accurately the truth of who He is. The beauty about Safe Place is it's your place with Jesus. And you can go there anytime, anywhere, and He'll meet you there. So Jesus, for those of us who are feeling a little bit open and kind of scared, I pray that You would come now and place Your hands under their hearts and lift their heart and hold their heart and walk with them in this journey of wholeness and transformation. Father, You are so good to us. You will not relent. You will not relent. You are the most encouraging person. You are the most loving person. You are the most giving, benevolent, caring, empathetic witness that we could possibly have. And You walk with us. So we thank You for this time, and we seal it now by the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus and by the power of His resurrection and the power of His ascension. And we thank You, Jesus, that as You make intercession for us, You meet us in this place. And so we say thank You. We say thank You.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.